Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes piña coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. There's comedy happening right now in Door County. If you want to zip over to the Firehouse Comedy Club and check it out. It was fun to talk to Asher. Our question tonight is, what is the most foul stench that you have ever experienced? Or that you're scared of, whatever it is, text us and let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and let us know. We've had some really, if it were a contest, Sherry would win, because she offered like three horrible smells.
Yes.
And they're all bad. But the snake one was interesting, that Terry shared, that I didn't even know what that was. That's a bad one. So you said earlier the Packers made their final cuts due today, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Okay.
They cut the two quarterbacks that were competing for the quarterback two job. They cut both.
Really?
They cut, Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt.
Okay.
So now they traded a seventh round next year for Malik Willis, who was on the Titans. He was pretty high prospects.
I remember him. Yeah. From Liberty University, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, he didn't turn out to what they said he was going to be, but I guess we'll see how he does on the
got some traits though.
Yeah.
Do they think he'll be the number two?
There's no way he'll be number one.
Well, how funny would that be?
We only have two quarterbacks now.
Do you think that would ever happen in the NFL? Like a guy signs the biggest contract in history, and that'll only last until another guy signs. But then this guy comes into camp and legitimately beats him out, making the league minimum.
Well, I would say Tom Brady did that.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You're right. Or Brock Purdy.
Well, that was Jimmy Garoppolo. He sucked.
And he got injured, right?
Yeah, he didn't even get the best contract.
I almost think when you have a, but when Drew you have a quarterback.
Bledsoe,
yeah, go ahead.
But Drew Bledsoe, I mean, he showed that he was a good quarterback. And he just, I mean, he got hurt, I believe. That was it.
Saw the field after that.
Yeah. Never saw the field again.
Because with a guy like Garoppolo, you're like in no man's land. You almost don't want a guy. He might do just enough to get you to the playoffs, but he's going to break your heart.
Well, he hasn't shown that he can even make to the playoffs in the last 4 years.
Maybe the last time last he was years, a, but he's got he went to a Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah, he what was that against the Chiefs?
Yeah. But you know he's not going to win.
And then after that, he just went really down.
Yeah. He's done. Is he still in the league?
I believe he's still a backup quarterback somewhere. Okay. But he tested positive for some, you know, some stuff.
A handsome drug?
Handsome drug.
He's too handsome. He can't. That's fake handsome.
So I believe he's suspended for the first four games anyways.
I mean, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, it's not.
He's kind of doing the team a favor in a way. It's like, all right, well, we don't have to make a decision on Garoppolo on his mediocrity, you know? He's another one of those guys too. Isn't he from like some small town in Illinois, like Tony Romo? No, Tony Romo was from Wisconsin, but he went to Eastern Illinois, I think.
Well, let me go to the Google.
Go to the Google, and we got to get to the bottom of this. This is bothering me.
So he's now on the Rams, by the way.
Oh yeah,
he's yeah. Okay. So he's from Arlington Heights.
Oh, Garoppolo.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So and the other roster cut was Carlson, the kicker that broke some people's hearts last year, is now cut from the Packers.
Okay. Are you happy as a big Packer fan? Are you happy with the cuts they made?
You know, I will say, I think we should have kept Pratt. I think he's pretty good.
Okay.
He was, I mean, not pretty good. He's okay.
Right.
But good for a third string.
Pretty good is okay.
And then, you know, Carlson showed that he improved a little bit over this last couple this last year.
Okay.
And yeah, they cut him. I'm like, maybe I don't know who they should have kept, to be honest, but now it's Greg Joseph, who used to be a Vikings kicker.
So what's your prediction?
I think Greg's because I went to a couple of practices and I've seen what Carlson and him kind of competing, you know, and they seem pretty similar. So I don't know. I'm hoping Greg definitely has shown that he can do something good in the league.
Give me your standings for the NFC North in week 17 or 18.
Well, the Packers are going to be number one, of course.
You think they're going to take over the Lions?
I do.
Okay.
I think
so. Packers, Lions.
I think the Bears and the Lions are going to battle out for second.
Really?
And then the Vikings are just going to be terrible.
Well, it doesn't hurt either that they lost McCarthy. I guess he was looking good during the preseason.
He was okay.
He's a rookie, though.
Yeah, and now they got Sam Darnold, who, I don't know.
Who sucks.
He sucks.
He's got bad hair. Go get a crew cut, you know?
You know what some people say? He looks like a Lego character.
I can see that. All right, so we found, this is kind of funny. I heard this clip years ago. It's Lyndon Johnson's birthday today. And what better way to celebrate LBJ, his birthday, posthumously, of course, died many, many years ago, with a clip that I found of LBJ ordering pants. This is our former president, took over after JFK was assassinated, got out of the race in 1964, did some really cool things while in office, but the Vietnam War eventually was his undoing. He left the race, paving the way for Richard Nixon, I believe. 64, 68. Yeah, Richard Nixon. So here is our, here's LBJ ordering pants. He's on the phone with a man ordering pants and speaking with his Texas drawl and using words that are very LBJ.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, the pockets, when you sit down in the chair, the knife and your money comes out, so I need it at least another inch in the pockets. Yeah. Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there because they cut me. They're just like riding a wire fence. These are almost, these are the best that I've had anywhere in the United States. But when I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So leave me, you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, around under my, back to my bunghole.
All right,
so I can let it out there if I need to.
The random burp gets me.
That guy was president. Can you imagine, like, I can't imagine talking to a tailor. Well, first of all, I don't make the kind of money where I can make special requests for my pants. But talking to a guy, that's just so funny. You think, like, your parents don't know the vernacular of modern day. Like, when he said bunghole, I'm like, that word existed back then? Like, you always think it's new. But yeah, all the same stuff. That's hilarious. We also have a clip of, you know, I don't know if this can follow the Johnson clip.
We should have played it before.
I think maybe. So what do we have? We have Melissa McCarthy.
Yep.
And what else?
And the little scream from Home Alone.
Scream from Home Alone. All right, we'll save that. This is Melissa McCarthy. And what is the movie? Life at 40, I think, with Paul Rudd.
This is 40,
right. Yes. All right, so it's Paul Rudd, and then the actress is Judd Apatow's wife. I can't think of her. Hold on, I'm going to Google it. I want to give this a proper introduction. All right, this is 40. It's a Judd Apatow film. Paul Rudd plays the lead. Leslie Mann is Paul Rudd, or is Judd Apatow's wife. It's Paul Rudd in the scene, Leslie Mann, and there's a therapist, and then, I think it's a therapist, and then Melissa McCarthy. And she messes up, and she keeps going with this improv blooper. So let's hear that.
Quit slow blinking at me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I would like to rear up and jackknife my legs and kick you both in the jaw with my foot bone. That's what I would love. I wish my foot would go right through your skull. This is what happens when you corner a rat. I will kill you. You corner me, I will chew through you. I'll chew through you. Slow blinking eyes. I will chew off your eyelids. You won't slow blink at me, will you?
Did you drink before you came here?
No, but I'm going to start drinking. I'm going to slit somebody open like a fish and drink their blood. That's what I'm going to drink if we don't start getting to the point here. Probably I'm going to start with Karen Carpenter's head. I'm going to rip her head off, and I'm going to drink her blood. And then I'm going to come back and light you on fire. I'm going to light you all on fire, but I'm going to start with you, Jill. I'm going to torch you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go buy a pickup truck and a cord of rope, and I'm going to string it around all three of your necks and then drive around town dragging you. That's what I'm going to do.
That's completely uncalled for.
Really, Jill? Do you think it is? Off, Jill. God, everybody hates you. God.
That isn't even nice.
Go suck a big Jill.
How did they just let that keep? I mean, usually somebody messes up, it's cut, you reset. They let her do like a whole scene. And she's funny, but I mean, that's crazy. That's Melissa McCarthy. Craig Knitt, who is in the who was here a little earlier to say hello, said, I'm pretty sure the phrase bunghole became a slur with the invention of the barrel. I don't understand that, Craig. The barrel? Like when people on the farm wore a barrel around their midsection? I will defer to you. So Craig's the guy. Craig's the guy in the know. Conrad, look at Craig's tweet on the stream. His message on the stream. I don't understand that, do you?
I'm pretty sure the phrase bunghole became a slur with the invention of the barrel. Okay. I was thinking that because there's that little like hole in a barrel sometimes.
Craig is so down on my Wisconsinism because we were talking about this earlier. He says in all caps, a bunghole is how you fill a barrel. Okay, Craig, back off, man. I don't own any barrels. Thank you for clarifying that. Bridget checks in on the stream. Bridget from the 818. Love Bridget's text. She says, wet dog smell. Yuck.
Yes.
That's a bad one. I wouldn't say it's the worst. That's a good one, though, Bridget. Thank you. Thank you for all your texts. These are great. All right. Very exciting. Hey, Frank Anderson is coming up next. Our old buddy Frank from Wisconsinology. And we're going to talk about one-hit wonders and bands from Wisconsin and really cool stuff. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right. Oh, on tomorrow night's show, we have legendary, native Wisconsinite, legendary director of the cult classic, The Giant Spider Invasion. Bill Rabane will be here tomorrow night, and actor and co-host of The Maggie Dunn Show, Brian Kelly, will be on the show. Right now, I'm excited. It is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight one of our frequent flyers and the founder of Wisconsinology website. He's a musician, a director, and a showbiz renaissance man, Frank Anderson. Frank, how are you?
Wonderful. It's so exciting to be on your show tonight.
And after,
I'm changing all the strings of my pedal steel guitar. That's 20 strings.
Oh, nice. I just gave you...
Bill Rabane?
Yeah. He's on the show tomorrow night. I just watched
heavily.
Pardon?
What's that? I contributed heavily to the Bill Rabane box set that came out on Arrow Films.
Oh, wow.
Huge Blu-ray thing. Yeah.
That is really cool. I just watched The Giant Spider Invasion like about 2 months ago and just loved it. He still lives apparently in northern Wisconsin. It's a great story.
Yes, he does. He's been making films there since the late 60s.
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank, I just gave you a very esteemed introduction. And the first question
Wonderful.
I'm gonna ask you is, what is your least favorite smell?
Oh dear. I am smelling impaired.
Oh, lucky you.
No, really. I mean before COVID too. I was there first.
Oh, nice.
I really don't have one. A lot of smells that people hate, I kind of like, because it means life. I grew up in the Far East. I grew up in the Philippines. I was born there.
And yeah.
I remember what Hong Kong used to smell like, and to me, that's no big deal, and I kind of liked it.
Very cool. That's the most interesting answer we've gotten tonight by far. But I'm kind of with you. Like, I like when I smell garlic on people, I don't mind that. I love garlic.
Why do people not like garlic?
I have no idea. They're vampires, I guess.
Delicious. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Totally agree with you.
I do have a little tidbit. My grandmother, who was born in the 1800s, always complained about that modern grocery stores did not smell. That there was a different smell when produce was more fresh and canned goods had not yet taken over.
Very interesting.
And she always pointed that out.
Boy, that's really, I like those smells too, that make you like take you back, like even a soap or something to your childhood. It is. I mean, sure. It's one of the five senses. It's like one of those things that you're right. Can remind you of life. It's great.
It is life.
It is. Smells are life.
Grow
remember
up,
that.
People.
Remember that, Conrad. This is turned into a foul stench of a question into a philosophical exposition here. I love it.
I don't know how you can put burnt popcorn as life. But.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. Frank, we talked about one-hit wonders last night, and I know that you sent some songs. I wanted to discuss those too, but do you have a favorite, aside from the music you sent, that we'll hear in just a bit, do you have a favorite one-hit wonder or a song that, you know, you're just so glad it was made?
Yeah. Sugar, Sugar by the Archies.
Oh, great song.
That's a great song.
I love that song.
I was, you know, of the age then. I was, 12? And all the older guys, and I don't know about the women, but all the older guys hated it. And they tease you mercilessly for liking that song. I love that song. It's a slice. It's got a reggae influence. It's fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a toe-tapper.
It's the most classic piece of Brill-building songwriting that exemplified the era.
Well, and it's just one of those songs when it comes on, there's just certain songs like that that just make you happy. They, you know, lyrics, music, the composition, everything. It's just great. That's a great answer.
Every element, perfect.
Yeah. So, all right. So you haven't been on the show in a while. I'm excited to have you on. And when I told you, when I mentioned One Hit Wonders to you, you sent me some songs, and you did in pure great Frank Anderson fashion. You zeroed in on Wisconsin with the question, and I love it. And I might have mentioned I wanted to talk about Wisconsin bands and some of your favorites, but let's hear. This is one of the songs that Frank sent earlier. I'm sure you'll recognize this. I had no idea where it came from. I only remember it from 16 Candles. But, Conrad, let's play The Birthday by the Underground Sunshine. A couple minutes of it.
On the chart right now, if you may. Ladies and gentlemen, again, greet the Underground Sunshine.
Yeah. So that's a band called Underground Sunshine. Great title, by the way. And that song, I didn't know at the end of the song, the video you sent, Frank, Dick Clark says how John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote it. These guys performed it. But then it also says it's a cover. So did the Beatles do that first?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure. Paul McCartney did it like a one man band on the White Album. And
okay.
I believe. And but the Underground Sunshine, produced by Madison DJ Jonathan Little, and featuring Jonathan Little's sister, Jane Little, on Vox organ. They took it to number 26 on the Billboard charts. And I remember hearing it all the time, and then just like that, goodbye. But the Underground Sunshine was from Montello, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they had a nice little moment. How many people have a little moment like that? How many? Very few. So, you know, great work, Underground Sunshine.
Absolutely. And it's one of those songs, too, that I, you know, I've heard it in movies. And now that you say that about McCartney, I do remember hearing him sing it. But it's weird to me that doing a cover tune like that got you on Dick Clark.
Well, the song raced up the charts, and Dick Clark did everything based on who's racing up the charts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And they had a good manager, Jonathan Little, who I know is a great guy. He's managed many well-known Wisconsin bands. He's a great promoter of Wisconsin artists.
They also had a song that I saw on their Wikipedia page, Jesus Is Just All Right, in 1969. The Doobie Brothers had a song called Jesus Is Just All Right, but maybe it was With Me. I don't know if it was the same song.
They're all covering The Byrds. The Byrds came up with that arrangement.
Okay.
And it's a gospel song. They got it from a gospel group. And it's on a Byrds album. And it was got a lot of FM play, but very little AM play. And that was a thing back then, you know, to get AM play meant you had a hit. But they were late to that one, a little too late.
Yeah.
A lot of bands jumped on and did exactly like the Doobie Brothers, the Byrds version.
My guest is Frank Anderson. We'll have more with Frank. Two more Wisconsin one-hit wonders coming up after award-winning Civic Media News. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight. Frank Anderson's here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get there today. Frank Anderson is here. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, Tuesday night edition. Great to have you with me wherever you are joining us from in the great state of Wisconsin. A couple texts came in. Jim from Appleton says, bad smell, vomit. Yeah, that's definitely up there. Jack from Merrimack says, worst smell? How about the so-called corpse flower? Enough said. I don't know the corpse flower. Frank, you ever hear the corpse flower?
Sure, it smells like a corpse.
Well, I figured, but... Some corpses might smell good, though. You don't know. It depends how long they've...
Well, I do know. They don't smell very good. But...
You've been around your share of corpses? Something you want to tell us? all right. We're talking Wisconsin one-hit wonders. We segued to Wisconsin, specific one-hit wonders. Frank has vast knowledge of this. Let's go with another one. This is another clip you sent me earlier. Mule Skinner by the Fendermen. This is... let's
Mule
play that.
Skinner Blues.
Oh, is that what it's called? I thought it was just Mule Skinner. Okay. All right, rockabilly duo, the Fendermen. Here we go.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you. Will you meet another Mule Skinner? Down on your new mud run. Hey, hey, hey.
I'm kind of torn on that one, Frank, because I really love the guitar. It's a great song, but that kind of yodeling thing they do. I don't get that.
Oh, I do.
Yeah?
Yodeling. That's beautiful, and it's so much from where they recorded it. You know, I think I told you before, my aunt Lois Anderson was a accordionist, and so is my cousin Susie Anderson, and so is my cousin Woody Woodward, a yodeling drummer. There's yodeling down there in southeast Dane County, Wisconsin, which is where the Fendermen lived at the time they recorded this. And it's two guys plugged into one amp, and he's singing straight up into one mic. Amazing sound. Johnny Cash loved them so much, he took them on tour. Neil Young said that's the song that switched, that flipped his switch.
What?
And really made him go rock and roll.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. And one of them is from the 715 Niagara, Wisconsin, up in my hood, close to my hood. And the other one is from Stoughton, I guess. So they're like representing different parts of Wisconsin. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But at the time, you know, they're just gigging around Stoughton, Wisconsin. And when that song broke, it broke big. And number five in the nation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So
very cool. Those guys are great. And it's so raw and, you know, no second take. It's one take. To all musicians out there who are listening to you, quit futzing with your recordings. Do it once and move on. That's all. That's great advice.
Yeah, but that sounds, for a one recording or for a one take, they did sound amazing. I mean, that was great sound. 60
it's
years
fantastic.
Old. Yeah.
Yeah. Only one microphone in the studio and straight to two-track tape. There you go.
Gosh, that's fantastic. All right, we've got one more, One Hit Wonder. And this is a great song, too. I remember this. This is not as old as the other two. Conrad, let's play a couple minutes of Better Days.
In my shoes, my toes are busted. My kitchen says my bread is molded. I got a good job at the dollar store. One foot in the hole, one foot getting deeper with a broken mirror and a blown out speaker. And I ain't got much else to lose. I'm faded, flat busted, been jaded, I've been dusted. I know that I've seen better days. To lose, 'cause I've seen better days. I've been a star of many plays. I've seen better days.
And the bottom drops out.
I've seen better days. I've been a star of many plays. I've seen better days.
That's a great song. I remember liking that when it came out. That's Citizen King from Milwaukee, and that song made it to number 25. Nice find for tonight, Frank.
And also in so many movies, beginning with Mystery Men in 1999. But since then, constant play in other media.
Yeah.
Really a bigger song than the number 25 lets on. And so interesting. The band was great. I knew half of them. And a member of that band went on to found Danger Bird Records in L.A., and that was, he was a player for a while.
Huh.
And two members of the band, the DJ, Malcolm, and the drummer, DJ, were from Denmark, Wisconsin.
Oh, man.
And DJ, the drummer, went on to play drums in the road band for Peter Buffett's stirring tribal musical spirit, The Seventh Fire. There you go.
That is so, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to these songs earlier, and these guys are from Wisconsin, and at one time, and this fascinates me about the one-hit wonder, more so than bands that had consistent hits in the top 40 or whatever, they were like on top. They mattered, and they were relevant in this industry, and they were on top of the world, and for a short time, but that's a pretty cool thing. But it what make me sad almost, Frank, is that you had to send two clips of them, like the Fenderman and Underground Sunshine, for me to even know who they were. Like, I've heard the songs, but they're just forgotten by most of the population. And I find that right. So sad.
It is sad, but rest assured, the Fendermen are still dynamite to a segment of the European record collecting and rock and roll fandom in Europe and in Japan. So Underground Sunshine are forgotten, but yeah. They're still great.
Even if you have a hit, you're forgotten. That just seems wrong to me.
What's the old saying? You need at least two hits to play the carnival circuit or the state fair circuit. Not the carnival circuit. That's what I play. But the state fair circuit.
Who are some of the, you just said you played with these guys from Madison.
Yeah.
And you knew half the band of Citizen King. Who?
I know everybody I've talked about so far.
Yeah, and you've played with really amazing people, and I know you've done a ton of work with Butch Vig, but aside from Butch, Butch is great. Who have you played with that we haven't heard of that you can talk about tonight and give them some love, if you will?
The Hispanic Boys.
Oh, yeah, I remember them, sure.
Famous for taking Sinead O'Connor's place on Saturday Night Live when the show removed her, the Hispanic Boys subbed in.
Milwaukee band, right?
I played on one of their albums. I'm all over it like a wet rag. And I did some shows with them in Chicago and the record release in Milwaukee. And I was checking out to see if they had any chart action. They didn't, but they did really well. They're at the top of their game. And for a moment there, like you said earlier, they mattered, and people were talking about them, and there was a buzz.
There was a buzz. One year I was performing at Summerfest in the stand-up tent, which was a miserable venue. I mean, I'm glad they did it, but it was just not a great place like it was for music. And I remember there was just a buzz, and everybody was going to see, at one of the stages, the Hispanic Boys. And, they were kind of a big deal. So are they still touring? Do they still play?
No, not at all.
Okay.
They completely dropped out of the music scene. They were Tom and Ian Spanik, a father and son duo.
Oh.
And Tom Spanik passed away somewhat recently. And Ian is I believe he's a school superintendent. And he has eschewed show business completely. My favorite new E-word. I don't even know if I pronounced it correctly. I've read it a lot.
It used to be ebullient, so I'm glad you have a new one. That's funny.
But that's what happened, and yeah.
And it reminds me of the, how cool is your superintendent or your principal? It's like when Homer Simpson was after the dean, that crusty old dean, and he used to be the bass player for the Pretenders. He's like, come into my office if you're ever stressed out, it's just... So we just talked about some pretty big, you're very tied into the music community, very respected musician. When did you get to a point, Frank, where you were like the guy people called? Because I think I've told you in the past, I've seen all these music documentaries or whatever. And it's like, oh, there's Frank. Oh, there's Frank again. Like, you're everywhere. When did that happen for you?
When I was 17, it started.
Really?
I made more money as a musician when I was 17 than I ever did again. Just playing bars in Wisconsin. And word got out, I guess. And I was suddenly playing on albums at age 17 and driving down to Chicago to be on some, not huge hits, but album, things that are available in stores at least. And, at that time. And it started there. And then I had a bit of a meltdown at age 21. I think I threw my pedal steel out a hotel window.
Oh man.
I was three stories up. No, it was funny. It was weird.
That's rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, I used to beat it up on stage and throw it up in the air and play it upside down in my younger days. And I was trying to be the Pete Townsend pedal steel. And it worked. Some nights it didn't work. And some nights it was comic. and backfired. And, you know, but it was really fun. I got sick of the instrument at age 21 because I'd been playing nonstop from 15 to then and playing nights, insane nights, you know, 200 plus a year. And,
Wow.
And I wanted to do something else, and I dropped it for a while, and then came back again. And when I came back, Butch Vig was my friend. Butch Vig was starting to record bands in Madison, and it was lucky that I coincided with that.
Yeah, but was it the amount of instruments you played, or was it just that you were so good at the ones you did play, or a combination of both? Obviously, you're easy to work with too. I'm sure that helped.
I've played guitar a lot for a lot of artists, regular guitar, not pedal steel, and it's either or. But okay. My main instrument will always be pedal steel, and that's what I do. And it's just that. Just one instrument.
Ah, that's pretty. I think you're doing okay.
Although I played accordion on a lot of albums.
All right. We're going to talk about, I want to do some Wisconsinology stuff next. We'll do that. And I want to ask you about the accordion and the accordionist city. We'll do that. Frank Anderson is here tonight from Wisconsinology. We're going to talk about his amazing website, Wisconsinology.com. I encourage
you. Break out your accordions.
Go there and either break out the accordion or go visit that website right now so you can follow along with what we're talking about. We've got more with Frank Anderson coming up on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Is that, are they one hit wonder? BTS?
No, I think they got a few more songs.
Okay. I got nothing, man. But I don't need anything because Frank Anderson is here. And we have talked music with Frank, one hit wonders from Wisconsin. And now we're going to turn our attention to his really cool website, Wisconsinology.com. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it yet. Really fun Wisconsin stuff. Frank ties everything that has ever happened in the universe to our state, which is a talent. And a lot of it is true. All of it's true, but that's incredible, Frank.
Well, you know, the entire premise is of Wisconsinology, and why I did it is my wife wanted me to stop bringing up Wisconsin facts, basically to just shut up about it. It had to come out somewhere, you know. So it came out in Wisconsinology, and I do, unless I'm on your show, I do my best to hold it in.
You don't bring it up every night at the dinner table?
No, but sometimes I just can't help it.
I don't blame you.
What Wisconsin has that nobody else has, besides the first everything, and I'm not kidding, is our greats are one step above all greats in a chosen field. For instance, you know, architecture, right? Who's the god of architecture? Frank Lloyd Wright.
Frank Lloyd Wright, yeah.
So I do a parlor trick when I talk. I say, any subject, movies, Orson Welles, excuse me, it ends there. even comedy. Somebody brought up comedy, stand-up comedy, and they knew stand-up comedians. I could not name a stand-up comedian who was of, you know, the highest level from Wisconsin. However, I could say two words that'll mean a lot to you.
Yeah.
Mitzi Shore.
Oh, sure. Marinette connection.
Yes, the mother of all modern comedy.
And Pauly Shore. Oh, that's funny.
Who I'm still animating on my stop motion table right now.
Oh, nice.
Last time I talked to you, I started. I should be finished soon.
Let's talk about it, because I want to bring this up. On Wisconsinology, you have a cards section, and you have a card called the Accordionist City, and that is Milwaukee. It says in 1956, Milwaukee is the accordionist city in America, with more players, students, instructors, and instruments than in New York, Chicago, or Cleveland. It was also the year that rock and roll enters the airwaves of mainstream USA. The death of the accordion as a popular instrument is imminent. And here is my issue with the accordion. I love it, but there are times it doesn't. I don't love it when it's played. I feel like it's the Skeet Ulrich of instruments. I can't figure out, like half the people like him, half the people don't. I like it under the right circumstances. Am I crazy?
No, you're okay. Everybody, basically. And, you know, polka music, it had nowhere to go. Accordion music, it had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
There was no taking it to, another level or another area where people innovate. There's none of that. Guitar, little six-string instrument, they keep innovating and sounding, getting new sounds out of it with every decade. Everybody plays it differently. Accordion, there it is.
Yeah,
I love the instrument, but you're right.
Same.
And I'm the same way. It's fine on occasion.
Yeah, you can make it sound beautiful, but you can also just misplay it, I think. I don't know if that's the right
word.
It's
not that. It's that it sounds the same all the time.
Yeah.
No matter how many reeds you engage on the button box or the piano accordion, it's still the same.
Right.
And my favorite accordion playing is the more rhythmic kind that came out of, Cajun country, Louisiana down there. Button box playing. I think Mexican polkas are wonderful, and that's all button box. And it's they're filling the polka void in Wisconsin.
That is so cool. I love that you know all this stuff, and thank you for
making... No, it's just that I think about it all the time.
Well, that's someone has to, right? I mean, then you could share it with the rest of
someone's
us.
Someone's got it. Yeah.
All right, we didn't get to... I had John B. Murphy, I had the Cranberry, and the Dragon Hunter, but we'll have to save that for next time. We'll do the... Hunter's really cool, so we'll do that next time. Franks, thank you so much, as always, for your time. It's so much fun to talk to you, buddy.
And write down horseradish while you're at it.
Oh, okay. Another connection to something cool in Wisconsin.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, buddy. Have a great night. Thanks so much, Frank.
You too.
All right. That's Frank Anderson. Check out Wisconsinology.com. You can hear his work all over Butch Vig. Anything Butch Vig has done, he's a very accomplished musician and always fun to talk to. Conrad, did we learn anything tonight? It's been a fun show.
Well, I think I found out not to mess with garden snakes.
Yeah, no kidding. And they, what is it called? Venting.
Venting, right? Yeah.
It's not just getting a load off. They're actually spitting something.
It sounds so much worse when it's venting.
Yeah, it does sound bad. Here's the other thing. We had a great text tonight, too, by the way, everybody. Thank you so much. We had some great... I don't understand this one on the stream. It says Kelso Lagada. Is that one of your aunts? Conrad, it's 18 aunts.
It just means 100.
She's so much fun. It means what?
100 means...
I don't see... Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Craig said, I love the box set. He's talking about Bill Rabane. Very well done. Well, we will hear more about Bill Rabane tomorrow because he's going to be on the show and Craig will be here helping us talk to Bill because he knows Bill and they have an event together. So Craig will be in studio discussing Bill Rabane's career and we'll talk to Bill himself about his film, The Giant Spider Invasion. And thank you to Asher Brooks for being on the show tonight. Frank Anderson, all your texts and calls. We have new phone lines coming soon, folks. We're going to have multiple phone lines on Nightlight. That is just around the corner, too. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow night for more Nightlight on behalf of Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
take me to your best friend's house. My